Penguin Random House Audio presents Subpar Planet, the world's most celebrated landmarks and their most disappointed visitors, by Amber Scher. Read for you by Gina Daniels. Note to listeners, this program contains a downloadable PDF that includes images and reviews from the book. For everyone who has ever been on the receiving end of negative feedback, you're in good company. Introduction. Some background and perspective. One thing I want to make abundantly clear right from the start is that I'm not an expert on pretty much anything. I think sometimes seeing a hardbound book very officially sitting on a shelf can put a spell on people and make them think the person behind it is some kind of seasoned expert with a vast breadth of knowledge. I'm not a park ranger, a travel agent, or a historian, and I certainly haven't seen and done everything you'll listen to in this book. I'm an artist who loves traveling and the outdoors. I love learning about the world and all the things that make our planet and its inhabitants so interesting, and then sharing that with other people. This book, and its predecessor, Subpar Parks, is an attempt to share what I've learned through this art project I started in 2019, exploring our world through the lens of the one-star reviews people leave online. This is by no means meant to be a comprehensive guide, a thesis on historical controversies, or an encyclopedia of anything. It's a collection of bad reviews I found online for some of the most iconic bucket list sites around the world, and some of the interesting things I've learned about those sites in my research, combined with my unapologetically punny attempts at humor. If you're planning a trip to any of these places, additional research will certainly be necessary. Unless you'd like to wing it, have a bad experience, leave another negative review online, and set me up with content for a third book. When you have a large reach, sometimes people expect you to perfectly represent all angles of complex, nuanced topics. While I can't really do that within the confines of this project, it was never that serious. Here is a bit of context about which I'd be kicking myself if I didn't at least try to bring it to your attention. Controversies and ownership of artifacts. As the old joke goes, why are the pyramids in Egypt? Because they were too big to transport to the British Museum. The British Museum has a page on its website called Contested Objects from the Collection, with statements about its refusal to return certain artifacts because the museum has such a large number of artifacts, artworks, and even human remains that have come from other cultures. The most notable are probably the marbles from the Parthenon, which were removed from the original site in the 1800s and have not been returned, even though Greece has been asking for them to be returned since they gained independence from the Ottoman Empire in 1832, claiming that the agreement that allowed them to be removed in the first place was done under Ottoman occupation, and thus is not valid. The first formal request for the marbles to be returned was in 1983, and there are currently ongoing secret conversations between Greece and the British Museum about potential paths to returning the marbles. The official responses to these kinds of requests seem to essentially amount to, "We think we're more qualified to care for these items than the cultures they originally came from," or, "The way we acquired it might sound barbaric, but was technically legal when we did it," and often read like they're trying to sugarcoat the truth of how they came to possess so many of these artifacts. Of course, the British Museum is just one example, and there are artifacts and works of art in museums around the world that were brought to those places under a variety of dubious circumstances, and many cultures that are actively seeking the repatriation of these important pieces of their history. This is a complicated topic that raises a lot of questions, like, what if the culture or country the artifact originally came from no longer exists? Or, what if the rightful owners don't have the means and infrastructure to properly preserve it? I definitely don't have the right answer for how we move forward from the long-standing history of looting, pillaging, and theft. That's way above my pay grade. But It's something to be aware of as you travel and visit sites that are missing these pieces, or the museums that house them. Imagine being from these countries and having to travel to an entirely different part of the world to see an artifact from your ancestry, with a lovely plaque next to it detailing precisely how it was taken from your people. It's one of numerous pieces of the puzzle we need to navigate as we reckon with the many harms colonization and war have perpetuated over millennia. Which makes for an excellent transition into Indigenous cultures, First Nations, and colonization. Indigenous cultures have survived incredible challenges, including violence and attempted genocide, colonization, and forced assimilation. Today, there are estimated to be 476 million Indigenous peoples worldwide. This includes more than 5,000 distinct groups spread across about 90 countries, speaking more than 4,000 languages, many of which are in danger of extinction due to fewer and fewer native speakers remaining. Let's clarify what we mean by Indigenous. While the meaning can vary from country to country, in the Americas, Australia, and New Zealand, Indigenous usually refers to the groups of people who were already there before a colonizer, typically Europeans, decided to violently take over. Due to colonization, they've often lost access to their lands, territories, and natural resources. They've often been excluded from decision-making in the countries they live in and have faced continued discrimination. Just look at how the U.S. government still skirts around its responsibility to make sure sovereign nations have access to water and other vital resources. Their cultures have often erroneously been labeled as inferior, primitive, or irrelevant. Thankfully, some countries are finally starting to recognize the damage done and are making some inroads to partially rectify the situation. Nothing in history can be undone. But by working together and truly listening to the harm that's been inflicted, we can find ways to move forward. In Australia, for instance, the state of Queensland recently returned a massive area of land to its traditional owners. In Australia, native communities tend to prefer to be referred to as traditional owners, First Nations, First Peoples, or Aboriginal Australians and Torres Strait Islander peoples, to name a few acceptable terms, all of which are proper nouns and should always be capitalized, including the Gudang Yadakanu, Atambaya, and Agamuti peoples. The Daintree Rainforest was also given back to the Eastern Kukulcan people. Now these Aboriginal communities are taking the lead and getting involved in tourism for these areas, giving visitors the incredible opportunity to learn about their history, culture, and relationship to the land. Indigenous-led tourism experiences aim to share and preserve culture while giving travelers an unforgettable experience. It's a win-win. These experiences are more genuine and less exploitative and directly benefit the community. By supporting native-owned tourism, you not only gain a deeper appreciation for the history and people of a region, but also help stop the loss of these vibrant cultures. Plus, the more people educate themselves about Indigenous cultures, the less inaccurate and harmful stereotypes continue to be perpetuated. So, how can you find these incredible experiences? There are handy websites like NativeAmerica.travel, which hooks you up with authentic Indigenous travel experiences in the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. In Canada, there's Destination Indigenous, which collaborates with Indigenous tourism organizations across different provinces. On the other side of the globe, Tourism Australia has a section on its website called Discover Aboriginal Experiences, where you can explore all sorts of Indigenous tourism businesses across the country. Don't forget Latin America. While there's not currently a centralized resource, a quick Google search will reveal plenty of Indigenous-led travel experiences. So let's support these amazing communities and learn from their rich cultures. By sharing our experiences with others, we can help break down stereotypes and preserve the incredible heritage of Indigenous peoples worldwide. Cost and accessibility. Just like in the United States, you can expect a variety of entrance and access costs when you travel. You'll find that some sites have no entrance fees, and others can have a pretty steep cost to enter, not including all the costs of traveling there, of course. Some areas have fees based on vehicles, and others based on a per-person rate.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?